Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you are glued to the Olympics the last few weeks and need another athletic excellence fix, there's plenty of it available in St. Louis Pro Football.
Gall awaits the snap, gets it right away. She's going to throw it off to her left, and that was a great throw that time. This is going to go all the way. That's blocked into the end zone to increase the St. Louis Slam lead.
It's July 27th at Tom Benson Stadium in Canton, Ohio, home to the National Football League's Hall of Fame. And this is not an NFL match. It's the Women's Football Alliance Championship game. And in the fourth quarter, the St. Louis Slam is up 23-20 and this close to defeating the defending champs, the Boston Renegades. We just heard rookie tight end Sydney Block take a short pass 50 yards into the end zone, a huge break for Slam, now up 10 points. Fans are going wild. Slam's just got to hold that lead. A few minutes later, Sydney Block catches another short pass and breaks through.
Block escapes a tackle. She's got room in front of her. She's got O'Connell Harrell chasing her down for the Renegades. O'Connell Harrell strips the ball away. She's running the other direction. She's going to be in for a Boston Renegades touchdown.
It's turnover and touchdown for Boston. For rookie Sydney Block, it is just about the worst thing that could happen.
So, yeah, had a cool touchdown, which was awesome. We were feeling pretty high, doing great. Definitely made a rookie mistake there, and it hit hard. It hit really hard, especially since I was so, like, devastated about letting this team down. It's worked so hard, and it supported me. It's been so good to me. And the vets that, you know, have wanted this so bad. So there was definitely a moment where it was like, what have I done? Kind of how sports go. There's highs and lows, and it's a matter of if you and your team can push through that and overcome it. Because when it comes down to it, winning a game sometimes comes down to whoever makes the least amount of mistakes, or which team can rally and push through.
And St. Louis Slam did push through. With under 2 minutes left, St. Louis's defense stopped the Renegades' hopes for a comeback. The final score is 30-27, with the St. Louis Slam taking the championship. It's a dramatic way to finish a season, and a special high for Block and the whole team. Here to talk about that game and how the St. Louis Slam women have established a football dynasty in St. Louis, we're here with Mert Davis, a coach and former player. Mert, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing very well. And that we, I also have here in studio, second-year running back Jada Humphrey. Jada, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Mert, take us back to how you were feeling going into that championship.
You know, we had a lot of confidence heading into the game. Probably had one of the most dynamic teams we've had in a number of years. Great rookie class this year. A lot of returning starters, a lot of returning veterans. So we were coming in pretty confident. We obviously had beaten the Boston Renegades in the regular season and broke their 42-game winning streak. But they are an incredibly well-coached team. We knew that we had a challenge ahead of us. We knew that we were going to get their best game, and that's exactly what we saw. So we came in with our chins up, really ready for a fight.
Mm-hmm. And the team's journey to that point of that game, the team had never lost a game in the regular season. I mean, were you expecting to get to the point you did?
If you don't go into the season with the expectation of winning everything, then you kind of failed from the start.
Right.
So our goal every season isn't just to get to the championship, it's to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the mindset that we put forward as we head into practices in the preseason. And we established that with the players early on that we're going to get to the championship and win the whole dang thing.
Mm-hmm. So, Mert, you're not in studio to see Jada, who's been sitting in front of me, nodding and shaking her head and sort of just alternating between those two. So, Jada, tell me about your experience of the game and what your expectations were.
I obviously definitely agree with Mert. When the season before when we lost, we knew right then and there that we were ready to go for the next season. So it was really just a waiting game, knocking one play down after another, one practice down, one team down. But when we finally took the field in the Hall of Fame field in Canton, it was all hands on deck. I mean, to be there for those practices, to be there for those films and talks from our coaches, like, it was a completely different atmosphere. And we knew from the start, like, we had a lot on our plate, but it was everything that we asked for, and we got the job done. So I'm very mm-hmm. proud of my team.
Now, that game, you scored a long touchdown yourself, and that was early on. What does that feel like? Is it, you know, does everything suddenly just go silent and you just see the goal ahead of you?
It was honestly premeditated. Like, we were down 14, and it was like, you know, we have to. We saw a change on the field that we had prepared for in practices weeks ahead. Immediately, Coach Q knew, and I knew with, you know, just with his body language, how eager he was to call that play, I knew exactly what was going to happen. And, you know, he spoke about maybe thinking off I was just going to break off a first down or something, but I wanted much more than that. My team wanted much more than that. So, you know, I saw the green and I took it.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Q, that is Coach Quincy Davis, and that he's the head coach of the St. Louis Slam. Quincy Davis spoke this morning with our producer, Danny Wisentowski, and he said that it was the team's willingness to adjust that helped you all avoid losing in that last minute of the game.
They're extraordinary women. They are athletes through and through. And one of the things that I love about them is they really do commit and they play for each other, you know. So, you know, we had some injuries, you know, going into the game and then even, you know, during the game, you know. So as we rolled, you know, backups in there and people who don't normally play those positions, you know, they're picking each other up, they're talking each other through it, they're making the adjustments on the fly. You know, nobody's panicking, you know, to their credit. It's very just methodical approach of, you know, we're here to win this year, so this is the adjustment that we'll be making.
Hmm. Now, Mert, as a coach, how do you work with your players so that they can avoid panic? I mean, panic is a very natural feeling.
It is, but it starts early in the season, and we were really blessed this season to have a group of women that were, they just came in confident. And that confidence builds throughout every season or throughout every practice throughout the season. So every time we put pads on and they go out and they do the drills, that confidence builds more and more. And that helps dispel and break some of that fear. Mm-hmm. They've done it so many times. And frankly, in our practices, we go hard against one another. You know, it's that iron sharpens iron mentality. So they've played against the best already at their own practices. So when they hit the game day, it's routine for them in a sense. There's game day nerves, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But usually within the first couple of plays, they're able to shake those off and get about business. So they're professionals through and through.
So Quincy Davis, Coach Quincy Davis, just mentioned injuries. Is there something about injuries during the game, Jada, that are different? Because hopefully during practice, there is minimal bodily damage happening. So with injuries also occurring, is there something that you were doing, something different, in order to ensure that panic was not the energy you were taking to the field?
One thing I will say about the Slam is that they're used to facing adversity. We talk about it all the time. There's preseason games that we get injured in. There's practices we get injured in. There's games that we get injured in. It's just a part of the game. And I think it actually, you know, I agree with Mert again, but I think it actually really starts with who we choose as captains, man. Like, we've had a very strong core of captains this year that have remained tranquil in the most chaotic times. They've been there, they've done that, but they keep our heads on straight, and that also comes with our coaching core. You know, we had a player that went down in the warm-ups for the championship game, and right then and there, we could have decided to, you know, fold our hands and just kind of have our heads down, but we didn't. We just held each other together. We remained a family, and, you know, we remain a family off the field, too, so it's kind of like you could put your trust in these people, and you can put them in different positions and challenge them because you know they're going to rise to the occasion rather than, you know, just run around with like a chicken with their neck cut off. So mm-hmm. I think it, you know, it's definitely a shout out to our captains, but it's just the foundation of what SLAM is. Like, we've been through this, we've done that, but, you know, this team is no different than any of the other years. We still have the job to get done, mm-hmm. and that's what we did.
Right. To the point about coaches, Jada, what has it meant to you and the team to have Coach Davis?
Oh, everything. Coach Quincy was actually the whole SLAM selling point to get me to come down here and play SLAM, and I was very curious because, you know, they talk so highly of him. They come back and play for him year after year after year. Like, you got some of these girls playing, what, 14, 15 years
wow.
for Coach Quincy. So I think him having that legacy in women's football and coaching his boys at Ladue High, you know, it speaks volumes that this is just a great coach. It's not about who he's coaching. It's just, you know, you give him somebody, he's going to coach them to the best of their ability that mm-hmm. he can.
Mert, you started as a player. So for you, what has it meant to coach alongside Quincy Davis? And what kind of perspective do you have on some of what Jada has shared?
There are probably not enough positive words written about Quincy Davis. And to be honest, outside of my father, he's one of the most influential men that's been a part of my life. And I've had the blessing to be able to share that with him and let him know what an effect he's had on me, both in my playing career and as a coach and in my personal and professional life.
Mm-hmm.
The guy has his emotional IQ is through the roof. I don't know how else to put it. And Jada said it, you know, people come back year after year to play for Quincy. And to be able to coach beside him and call him a friend now, you know, he was my coach at one point, and now he's a good friend and still somebody I lean on and respect. It's such an honor. And again, all the kudos go to Quincy. You know, we're all parts of the wheel, but he's the guy running the ship. And without him, we wouldn't be where we are.
Yeah. So, Mert, your start with the team was in 2003. How is it that St. Louis SLAM got started?
So there was a group of us that were involved in flag football here in St. Louis and really wanted the opportunity to play tackle football. We happened to hear that there was a league out there. There just wasn't a team in St. Louis. So a group of us lobbied that particular league owner and really, you know, almost begged, said, hey, if you bring a team here, promise we will have enough athletes to field that team. And that wish was granted. And the next thing you know, we had a potential for a team. Tryouts were underway and the rest is history. So the, mm-hmm. the team formed in 2002 and we took the first season. First time we took the field was in 2003 in April.
Mm-hmm. And you happen to have been the person to score the team's first touchdown. That's a distinction, I think, worth bragging about,
oh, yeah.
given the history. What was that like, Mert?
Man, it's been so long ago. You know, it was a really cool experience, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. It was kind of luck of the draw. You know, I happened to be open. I played tight end at that particular time, ran a little out route, was wide open, and took it home. So it was a cool experience. I'm glad I got to be a part of it. But even more so now, I'm really proud to be a part of the continuation of that story and seeing players like Jada,
mm-hmm.
you know, carry the ball into the end zone over and over again and now have that joy and get to pass that on. So that's a big part of it for me is you know, passing on the torch and that legacy.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit about that torch after we take a very quick break. We'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Eileen Cha. Let's return to our conversation about professional women's football with St. Louis SLAM coach and former player Mert Davis and second-year running back Jada Humphrey. Now, you moved to St. Louis specifically to join the SLAM. Tell us about that story.
It was very unexpected. I got the chance to play with some of the St. Louis Slam girls when I was playing in Kansas City. It was their COVID year, so had it not been for them coming to play for Kansas City, I probably would have never known about Slam, or I wouldn't have been here so quick, I can say that. But yeah, you know, I got to play with them for a season. I really enjoyed them, their company, just as people. They told me I needed to come down and start playing for the Flag League, so I did. I did that for 2 years, and that's kind of when they started to get in my ear a little bit more. I was just like, hey, we can get you down here. You should play for us, and, you know, they're like, you want to be a champion? This is the team. And by the second year, I was like, yeah, I'm all in. So it was a crazy move. It was a sudden move, but I don't regret necessarily anything about it. Ever since I got down here, I've had more fun and I've had more opportunities and success.
Mm-hmm. So we also have with us Slam coach, St. Louis Slam coach, and former player Mert Davis. So I'm going to start, Mert, with you. What was your connection to football?
Oh, I've been a football fan since I was a little kid. It was always something that my dad loved. So growing up, every Sunday, my dad and I would watch NFL, and I'm talking little on, mm-hmm. you know, 5, 6 years old. And as I got older, it was something I always wanted to participate in, and had the unfortunate discovery that there wasn't women's football and there wasn't an opportunity. So Flag was the opportunity that I found. I played Flag for almost 15 seasons as well. And when that opportunity for tackle came to St. Louis, I was all in and have been ever since. So this is my 21st season going into my 22nd season in 2025.
Wow. Jada, do you have a similar story?
Yeah, I have brothers that have played tackle football before. That's probably where I would say that's where it stemmed from, I guess. You know, it was just in my household, it was just about a form of being tough. So, you know, they would put their helmet on me and see if I could be tackled. And some days there was no helmet or pads. And it was just like that sense of, you know, being tough and the aggression. And then, you know, I actually started to learn about football, the strategy, the teamwork, and how you could just bring anybody in and you can make them, you know, a star on a star team like ours. And, you know, that's what made it more fun for me. It was like, you know, I don't always have to be the one getting tackled every day. Even though I play running back, it was just like, you know, now I have protection out there and I have, you know, a link of women that I know that are great connections for me and they're just great people to me.
Mm-hmm. We heard earlier from Sydney Block, who we said had just finished her rookie season when you played that championship game. And Sydney had mentioned that even though she grew up loving football in much the same way you and Mert did, that she was never given a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many kids that have talked to me, especially girls, who never even thought that was an opportunity for them. Like, even I as a kid, like, if I had known that I could have played football as a child, I would have absolutely jumped on that bandwagon, but it was not something that girls did. It wasn't something that was even thought about.
So boys have a lot of ways to play football. Jada, you were talking about what you were doing with your brothers. I mean, was there any opportunity at all to play football, not flag, but to play football as a child?
Yeah, I mean, not really. It was just kind of, there was never an official way for women, I will say that. I do remember being in middle school, and there was like maybe two or three girls who had tried out for the middle school team that we had. And it was kind of like they did make the team for, I'm sure, for age purposes. But it was more so they were just showing up to practice. They were never really given the opportunity to even see if they could play with the men. But, you know, it's hard for that because you do need a place where, you know, it could just be women playing football and then you can teach them that because it is different than men's sports and it always is. And it's just a learning process. But, you know, men play different because they're given different opportunities at youth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's always important to teach kids early on something that you want them to do or something to be good at rather than, you know, bringing them when they've already been in the world or they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, things like that. It's just hard to manage a playbook, as simple as a playbook, to be 40 years old and then you have kids and a lifestyle and then you're asking us to, you know, watch film, do plays and stuff like that. So, yeah, there was no opportunity for women, especially back then at that age. But I hope that Flag can actually open up doors for that.
Mm-hmm. Mert, in all those years that you played Flag, was there something about it that just didn't feel like it was enough?
Honestly, yeah, the lack of support from the community. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just a lack of knowledge, and people can't support what they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not enough publicity. You know, even now, women's sports are really in their infancy of gaining the support that men's sports have. And, you know, when you have a player group like we do that go out and gut it out every practice, every game, and are putting wins on the board, and not just wins, but really putting on a dynamic show and really giving the crowd something to look forward to, how do you not support that? And it just comes from a lack of knowledge. So that's the biggest thing that's been missing for us.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that Sydney Block also spoke with producer Danny Wisentowski about was how much it means to see fans come out for you all.
To kind of be a part of this program with Slam and see, you know, guys in the stands asking for our autographs, jerseys, different things like that. That was kind of like the big eye opener for me. But to see it in football, it's kind of amazing because, again, they're not watching men's football right now. They're watching women's football, and they're into it, and they're excited about it. And it's kind of like it's momentous in a way that, you know, it kind of gives you a little more motivation to be like, okay, so maybe we can start something here. Maybe this is the push to garner a little bit more attention to women's sports.
So, Jada, what has it been like for you to interact with fans?
It's been an experience. It shows you that, you know, you're not the only one. You have people watching you. You have people appreciating you. So it also humbles you in a sense, because it's like, oh, okay, you know, these people are coming out here, so I got to go a little harder. That way we live up to expectation. You know, they're putting their time and money into us. They support us so much. So I think that was also a drive for the championship this year. You know, we went all that way.
Mm.
We had all those fans. We could not come home and disappoint them. Like, it's a lot of pressure, but I mean, I appreciate them so much. This is most definitely the best fan base I've had in probably any of my sports in my life. So to see that, and to see not only are they supporting who they came to see, but they support every other Slam player the same.
Mm. Mert, has there been a change maybe in whom you're seeing coming out to support the team since you started?
Oh, absolutely. When the season first started, our very first game was actually pretty packed. There was about 1,000 people in the crowd. And that dwindled over time, and it became more of the players' family and immediate friends. And now we are starting to see more of an influx of football fans, not just family members, not just somebody that knows a player on the team. But the more that we're talked about and we have these opportunities, you know, to be on a show like NPR, it's a great opportunity to get our name out there and let folks know that there is still great football in St. Louis, and it's the St. Louis Slam.
Yeah. There's a girls' camp that is planned for September 15th in Cottleville. Is that camp something that you're doing for the first time, or you know, does it grow out of what you have seen people wanting once they see you all play, Jada?
Yeah, this is the first Flag football camp that I will be doing with the Slam. I'm not sure what they've done in the past, but this is the first one that I've known about, and it's very important. I mean, it's just, you know, it's really just about telling people and making them aware that, you know, there's an opportunity for you. So, and like I said, it's very important to start it with the kids. So I think this is going to be very fun. I think it's going to be awesome that we can bring a trophy around them. We can bring, you know, merchandise and show them like, hey, you can play sports. You can not only play this flag that we're going to teach you today, but you can also play tackle. And then you could be one of us, another champion. And it's just about building that legacy and keeping it alive. So it's exciting, and I think it's probably one of the best things we've done for the community.
Yeah. And as we wrap here, Mert, Jada's just talked about the championship. Is it a cup? What did you receive as champs this year?
So we received the big first place trophy that we've been waiting on, of course. We've got, you know, championship T-shirts for being there winning. The hat I'm currently wearing was also in there. Kerry McMahon received MVP, so she got her nice little shiny trophy to herself. That was really nice to experience. But yeah, we're just waiting on our rings now to make it official. So whenever I get my order in, I'll be one of the first ones to send it back.
Mm-hmm. And Mert, how are you as a coach and a former player celebrating this victory?
You know, the celebration immediately after the game was fantastic. I got to go out and be a part of it with the players. But, you know, and the joy for me now is, again, seeing them and letting them have that experience, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that put in the work and they're the ones that want it. Mm-hmm. You know, we just provide some tools for them and they have to do the actual hard part. So now I'm just kind of sitting back and soaking it all in still, you know, just enjoying it and kind of reliving the game over and over again and some of the great plays that happened and just getting to see the joy on their faces when that time ticked down and the buzzer sounded.
Mert Davis spent years as a player and is still with the team now coaching other players on St. Louis Slam. And Jada Humphrey is a second-year running back for the St. Louis Slam, which recently won its fifth national championship. Jada and Mert, thank you so much for joining us today and good luck with the forthcoming season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.